Hi, this is Amber Norby. Today on the show, I'm going to interview my husband. Well, not quite interview, but we are going to share our story of how we became parents, our journey with infertility, and our wild twin birth story.
Hi, I'm Amber. I have 5 young kids, including a set of boy-girl twins. My kids were all born within 6.5 years of each other. It's a lot of kids in a little amount of time. It has been quite the journey parenting all these kids so close in age. I've learned a lot over the years, and people often come to me for advice. But let's be honest, I don't know everything. And in those cases, I turn to other moms for their advice. I believe that people living it and doing it are the real experts. So that's why each week I'll sit down with a real expert, one of my friends, a mom like you, to get all the advice you asked for, and some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Should we start at the very beginning?
Depends on what the beginning is, but that sounds like a good place to start.
We were married in 2008.
Yes, May 20th.
We'd been married a little over a year when we decided we wanted to try to start having a kid.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. And even before we got married, we did a good bit of talking about how many kids we wanted to have. I think we started off, and at least I started off in the 3 to 5 range. And we weren't quite sure when we were going to start taking kids as we were beginning medical school, but I think it was around the end of the first year or somewhere beginning of second year, which would have been around somewhere between May and August.
It was a little after that, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
But then I wasn't getting pregnant, and it stressed me out. The first time I took a pregnancy test, I thought, oh, it must be broken. So I think I took 3 pregnancy tests, hoping that I was pregnant, and I wasn't. And so the next month, same thing. And I spent a lot of money on pregnancy tests.
That was probably before you knew you could get them for $1 at the dollar store.
Yes, and they're just as effective.
That is correct.
I was really worried about it. How did you feel about not getting pregnant after several months?
Well, I don't remember being as worried about it as you were. I was probably maybe not worried about it, but it was more on my mind because we were having other medical school friends who were also having trouble getting pregnant. One of those couples already down the process of trying to get pregnant and have children more so than we were. And they were already involved in a lot more workup and interventions to try to get pregnant. If anything, my thought was more of, oh boy, are we going to have to go down a similar road? What happens if over the next few months you don't get pregnant?
And I started checking out books from the library. And for me, it was very disheartening because the books on infertility and women's health, those types of things, were in the, like, the Dewey Decimal System. Is that what it's called?
The old library system?
Yeah, well, they still organize books that way.
Oh, okay.
Was the last time you've been to a library?
Well, I've been to the library, but only to be with the kids and play on the, you know, whatever fun playground area at the library.
They're all organized by, like, type. The fertility books were next to how to cope with cancer. That's what they were next to. They weren't next to what to expect when you're expecting pregnancy books. They were next to how to deal with the fact that you have cancer. So, to me, it just felt like doomsday-y. But I remember trying to figure out what was going on, why we couldn't get pregnant. So we had to take you to go have a sample, drop a sample off. And when we got the results back, do you remember what you said?
Yes, it's not me.
I about cried because the whole time that we've been trying to get pregnant, you were reassuring me, oh, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. It's okay. You're not broken. But that's how I felt. I felt, oh my gosh, I'm broken. And then we found out that it was not your fault, more solidified that I was broken. And that's how I felt as not being able to get pregnant.
And so one, you know, and maybe eventually people will find out that I'm pretty honest in how I'm express myself. But at the time, by then I was already in my 3rd year of medical school. I knew that oftentimes primary infertility, which is not being able to get pregnant for the first time, had a potential shorter pathway to becoming pregnant than if it were something to have to do with the male.
Okay. That's not how it came off when you danced around saying, yes, it's not my fault.
Yeah, I could have done a happy dance.
Yeah. So we were able to see a great doctor who helped us, and we started on fertility medicine, which was, well, I took a generic brand, but I think
Clomiphene.
But I think the general one is called Clomid.
That's right? The trade name. That's trade the brand name is Clomid.
Okay. So we did that for 6 months, 5-6 months. And I got pregnant with our first, and the pregnancy was super easy. And I thought, what does anyone complain about being pregnant? And then the delivery was super easy. Well, I mean, having a baby is not like easy, but no, it was very uncomplicated.
Well, I wasn't the one having to do all the pushing. So if you're the one saying it's easy, that's you're saying it, not me. But for the most part, yes. I mean, I think we were only in the hospital for 6 hours, maybe a little bit less before the delivery.
And then right after we had our oldest, we decided that we would just keep trying for more kids since we had trouble getting pregnant the first time. That's how I remember it.
I don't remember that. I was probably more so excited to be working and entering residency, but that's I believe you.
Well, we weren't doing anything to prevent pregnancy.
I agree with that.
Okay. So our oldest was almost 2 when we decided that we would really pursue getting pregnant again. It was the same drug, just went to the doctor and said, please write me this prescription. They asked me a bunch of questions. For the second pregnancy, I was on a lower dose of the medication than I was with the first pregnancy. Then I got real sick, or more sick than I was with my first pregnancy, and I started to show really quickly. And I remember sending a picture to my sister and Evan's sister. They knew I was pregnant. I said, holy cow, like, look how huge I look. And both of them responded back, as anybody should, you look great. And yeah, you just always show more quickly with your second one. I thought, okay, whatever. And then we were playing games at a friend's house. Do you remember this?
Nope.
Okay. I guess I should get a little more than just we were playing games. A friend's house who also had twins, and we had house app for them, and I'd been throwing up at their house. And so their kids had told their mom that I had been throwing up, and I was trying to hide the fact that I had been throwing up because I was sick. Not because I was sick, but because I was pregnant. Anyway, I had told her that I was pregnant, and I had admitted, I think it's twins. And I didn't really have any indications that it was twins. I just had this feeling that it was twins. I was showing a little bit, and I was sick. But that's not always, you know, that's not a, what do you call that, like a
predictor?
Yeah, they're not, like, stamped, like, that's what makes you have twins. Like, what's that word for?
I'm not quite sure what you're looking for, but it's not predictive of having twins.
Okay. I told her, yeah, I think I'm having twins. And she gets super excited because she has twins. And she asks me all these questions. So, well, I actually did take fertility medicine, but it doesn't really make you that much more likely to have twins. I think I shouldn't say, but I think it's only like 10% more. It's not that high.
I can't quote the exact numbers because I don't know them. But we were always under the impression that it would be more likely to have twins than if you were not on it.
Yeah, but it's not that much more likely. I think it's only like 10% more. I'll look it up. Anyway, I told her that I was on the fertility medicine, that I was sick, that I was showing more, and she told me, why don't you try to fake like something's wrong with you, but not too wrong with you, so that you can get an ultrasound, because I really want to know. And I said, well, actually, I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. She's like, oh, I'm going to be shopping down there. I'll come with you, and then we'll talk to the lady, and I want to know. I just want to know. You got to ask him for an ultrasound. And she was very forward and excited for me. And so that's what I did at the appointment the next day. I said, am I measuring bigger? Like, eh, not really. I was like, can you measure again? Because I think I'm having twins because I'm on, you know, this fertility medicine. The midwife said, okay. So she measures me again. I was like, actually, you are measuring slightly bigger. We can take a peek. I was like, yeah, but make sure you bill it medically. Otherwise, I don't want to pay for this extra ultrasound. I don't want it to be elective.
I remember Amber calling me and telling me that she was pregnant with twins. And I was so excited. I then let my other residents know. And I think I was just beaming and very happy the rest of the day, because this was March and it was just the previous December when our oldest was turning 2. I was working nights with one other person, and sometimes it's busy, sometimes it's slow, and so you have time to talk. And we both had one child each and struggled with infertility, and we were talking about coming to terms and accepting the fact that we may only have one child. We were both unsure about adopting, but I kind of resigned myself, maybe as a defense mechanism to not build up hope and then be let down again. So I was ecstatic enough when I found out that you were pregnant, and then even more so when we had twins, because we were kind of hoping that our first pregnancy would be twins. I remember that, probably because you were on clomiphene then as well.
I think going through infertility, I felt very alone and not thinking that anybody else. I thought it seemed so easy for everybody else. I was going to so many baby showers and so many people were getting pregnant. And so I think that's why it felt so doomsday to me, until I started meeting other people who also struggled with infertility. And that's actually how I was able to see a doctor and ask the correct questions to be able to get the help that I needed to get pregnant. And it seems like super melodramatic. We had only been trying for 2 years and you were resigned to never have kids again. Like 2 years in the grand scheme of things doesn't seem that big. But when you're in a trial like that, it seems heavier. And that's how I felt, at least.
Definitely. And it's not like there's not work to be done, because it was timing each sexual encounter we wanted to have. It was timing sexual vaginal intercourse. Oh, God. Which was more like a chore. Maybe we'll cut this part of the interview out.
My doctor husband. Okay, let's skip forward. So we found out we were pregnant with twins.
Editor's note, I was 15 weeks pregnant when I found out I was pregnant with twins. If I wouldn't have asked for that ultrasound, I would not have found out I was pregnant with twins until my scheduled anatomy scan at 20 weeks.
We told everybody again, you know, I mean, we had told everyone we were pregnant. Now we were telling everybody that it was twins. Super, super exciting. And then I think a day or two later, I had said to you, are you still excited? And you were like, yeah, I'm so excited. I'm like, okay, because I'm freaking out now. Because now I'm reading things on the internet and I'd gone to the library and checked out books on twins and I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I don't remember freaking out. I don't remember having time to freak out because it was a busy year. And so you definitely probably had more time to read and allow yourself to freak out or, you know, read. I just didn't have the time to read. But you are always very good at researching anything that had to do with pregnancy and birthing. I'm not surprised that you researched as much as you did, but that was just something that I never really did much of.
I remember being pretty adamant that we had cribs up and ready before 24 weeks. And I remember making sure my house was always clean just in case I went into labor super early, or if I had to be on bed rest, I would have activities and things planned for my toddler because I was petrified that I'd have bed rest, that I'd be, you know, hospital bed rest for weeks. And what am I going to do with my daughter? The other thing that made me really nervous is our hospital is a lower level hospital. And so at the time, if they were born before like 36 weeks, I think they would have had to be shipped to a hospital 2 hours away. So I was very nervous. Maybe it was 34 weeks. I think it was 34 weeks. So if the twins would have been born before 34 weeks, they would have had to be transferred to a hospital 2 hours away. So that made me nervous to deliver early. And I actually switched providers 1-2 times. So I had 3 different providers before the twins were actually born. My husband was a medical resident at the hospital, so we decided that it would be best if we didn't deliver at the local hospital and have physicians here that he'd have to work with that have to give him grades. Right?
Yeah. That's pretty much that, it. That about sums it up.
We were going to medical care further away, but when we found out we were having twins, the physicians, I felt like they were treating me, I don't want to say parasite, but like this anomaly, and that all these catastrophes are going to happen. And I thought, my goodness, it's just twins. Have you never delivered twins before? They're not that uncommon. So then we changed to provider of a physician who actually had twins himself.
That's correct. I remember you feeling like, as you said, the worst things that could happen were the things that they were talking about and the things that they were trying to prepare you for, not so much prepare you for, but kind of expect, which is contrary to your whole idea about birthing and labor and motherhood.
So Evan was working at a clinic that was an hour plus away the month before I was due.
Yes, it was an hour drive.
So he was living up there. I was like, I gotta hang on until he's home. And he'll be home August 30th. So I'm going to have the baby on August 30th is what I remember thinking. And then the baby didn't come. Babies didn't come.
And by then you are close to 38 weeks, maybe 37 weeks, 6 days. So you'd already gotten past a couple different milestones of babies will get to stay in Cheyenne. Babies are incubating longer than what you would expect from a twin pregnancy.
And then I thought, okay, well, Labor Day, that would be cute. Birthday, Labor Day, going to labor on Labor Day, that'd be cute. Baby still didn't come. Then my mom comes into town, who was supposed to come into town after the babies were born so she could stay longer and help. I think I had a friend pick her from the airport. Then that night, we go to bed. I wake up in the middle of the night to pee, like I always did. This episode brought to you by Betty's. It's an all-in-one fitted sheet, blanket, comforter set for your bed. It makes the bed-making experience easy. Get it? Bed
ease. The fitted sheet fits around your mattress with thick elastic, and then with the heavy-duty zipper, blanket, top sheet, comforter combined, zip to the fitted sheet, making it very easy to make the bed. Once the bed is zipped, it looks like a hotel bed. You know, the sheets are all perfectly secured under the mattress, and the top sheet comforter is smooth and taut. One of my favorite parts is that the inventor and CEO of Betty's is a twin mom. She was frustrated when her twin boys wouldn't or couldn't make their beds on their bunk beds. So she set out to find an easier solution. Enter Betty's. I personally have purchased 4 bedding sets. I have a set on my queen-size storage bed. I no longer have a comforter flapping down, getting stuck in the drawers. We also have 3 twin-size Betty's on our triple trundle bed. If you've ever tried to make a trundle bed or any bed push up against a wall, you know that it is a difficult task. But with Betty's, since you just zip all the pieces together, my kids can easily make their beds by themselves. Try it out for yourself with my promo link. You'll receive $50 off your order. They also have a 14-day, no-questions-asked return policy. You won't regret it, though. I convinced my mom to get 2 sets for the grandkid bunk beds at her house, too. They even have special-sized ones for your RV or trailer. Oh, and every Betty set comes with 2 coordinating pillowcases. Remember, use my promo link in the show notes to receive $50 off your purchase. And I remember thinking, oh, I think I might have the baby tonight or this morning. I just could feel contractions, but I'd been having contractions for like 2 months because, oh man, I was so uncomfortable the whole pregnancy. It just felt like it felt different. The contractions felt different. And I know once you get to the hospital, they don't let you eat. So that was priority number 1, was feeding myself before I went to the hospital. So I made myself a peanut butter sandwich and I was playing Tetris on our old school iPod. And then
I woke up, not because you were loud or I heard you. I woke up because I don't know if I had food poisoning or something that I ate just didn't sit well, or maybe I was nervous. I don't know. But my stomach wasn't feeling very good. And I think I woke up around 3:30 a.m. and I saw you and I'm like, what are you doing up? And you're like, I think I am having contractions. I said, okay, that's nice. Well, I'm going to go to the bathroom and throw up a little bit here and see if I can't feel a little better.
After that, I was like, all right, well, I ate, check. Got to shave my legs. So I got in the shower and started shaving my legs. And the contractions started coming super close together, and it was painful, and I was probably yelling at you. I was like, get my hypnobirthing, and we didn't have it downloaded, and I was irritated, and then the contractions were coming, and I was like holding my hand out of the shower, and I was like, hold my hand, because they were really close, and I could barely like finish the shower.
Yeah, I don't remember if you finished the shower, but I remember having to hold your hand because you were definitely screaming at me, yelling at me, just talking in a very...
I don't think I was screaming or yelling because we had people asleep in the house.
That's true.
But I was...
It was intense.
I was going to say direct.
Direct.
I guess I finally got out of the shower.
I think you must have had a break because it seemed like they came in rapid fire, and then there was a little pause enough for you to be able to get out of the shower and get into your big double XL shirt that you'd picked up from a parade one time.
That was my standard outfit of a ginormous t-shirt. So then I get out of the shower, and I don't know if you suggested we go to the hospital or if I said, okay, now, like, we need to go. I don't remember who said we needed to go.
I don't remember who said we needed to go first, but I think you were saying and feeling that I think the babies are coming. We need to, if not go, at least get ready to go.
So one of us said, okay, let's head over there. And I think I said, hey, go get, you know, get my hospital bag, get my camera bag and stuff. And I remember you bringing that out. And I said, I just need to lay down on the couch real quick and take a nap. Do you remember what you said to me?
I don't.
Okay. I don't remember exactly what you said. But you're basically like, are you kidding me, Amber? Like, these babies are coming and you're going to lay down and take a nap? Like, we do not have time for this, is what the look on your face was. But you are such a supportive guy that you let me labor the way I want to. You got the stuff out. But because you are a physician, at that time, how many babies do you think you're delivering a month?
Well, the months when I was working in the hospital, probably 15, maybe more or less, just depended on how busy the hospital was. But I definitely notched a few on my belt.
So you knew that the babies were coming. I stood up to go get in the car. I don't remember screaming, but I woke my mom up, so I must have screamed. And she says, what do you need? What do you want me to do? And of course, I'm like in active labor. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like,
I don't know, just hold my hand.
I probably yelled at her. Sorry, Mom. So I'm standing in our living room. We had a desk in our living room, and I'm standing at the desk. I have one hand on the desk, like leaning over, and one hand holding my mom's hand. I remember just needing to get the baby out and just like one big push and whoosh. And then he slides out and hits the floor because neither my mom or I caught that sweet little baby. And most people at this point say, oh my gosh, well, thank goodness your husband is a doctor. And I say, yeah, thank goodness he was in the hallway rolling up our area rug because he didn't want to have blood on our area rug.
So not just blood. For anyone who's been in a delivery, there's a lot of fluid. And granted, the rug was only $90, but I'm a penny pincher and I like to save as much as we can. And at that point, I didn't want to have to pay $90 to buy another rug. And if that was only $90 if it was on sale, otherwise it would have been $100. And it's easier to clean up on a wood floor. So I figured I'd roll it up. The apartment wasn't very big, so I could just quickly roll it up, put it in the bedroom, come back out. But I didn't know you were going to both like break the water and push the baby out all in one step. And granted, I wasn't there, but you weren't even down sitting down. You were in the process of going from a standing position to sitting on the floor, and the baby popped out.
Yeah, pretty much that's what happened. And my first thought when the baby was born was, oh crap, is he okay? That was my first. It happened so fast, I was nervous that he wasn't okay because nobody caught him. And he started crying immediately, and I was like, okay, he's fine. He's breathing, he's alive. And then you race in.
I saw that he was on the floor. His Moreau reflex was working very well. And I picked him up, looked at the clock, and said, time of birth, 5:42 a.m.
True to his personality, that was what he thought of first. Quick, let's get the time of birth.
Well, because people are going to ask. And the last thing I wanted to say, or for him to be able to say growing up, was, well, we don't really know.
Which is not something that was on my radar. But after he was born, I felt immensely better. I was like, oh my goodness, whew, all right, let's do this. And my physician had told me sometimes that twins can be born hours apart from each other. Since my contractions had stopped, I assumed that that would be my case. I was like, okay, well, we'll head down to the hospital, no big deal, and have the second baby. And since, go ahead and explain, like, you have to have one baby first. You could probably explain that better. Like the placenta.
So each baby had their own placenta. So you don't deliver the first baby and then deliver the placenta of the first baby before delivering the second baby. You deliver both babies first.
So you had already, when did we contact the doctor? Was it after he was born?
I might have called him beforehand.
I think you did.
And gave him a heads up.
When I was laying down on the couch.
And then I gave him a second call after our first was born, or the first twin was born, letting him know that, hey, the first twin has been born. And we're now driving to the hospital, and we'll see you there.
And we live in a small town, so he got there a little bit after us. But we showed up. I was holding my baby without a car seat. Like, I was holding him as you carefully drove to the hospital. And then you pulled into 15-minute parking in front of the emergency department.
Correct.
And this is when your fight or flight kind of like took off. I could feel your adrenaline going, like, okay, we got to do this, and this is what your energy was. Very like, all right, let's do this, let's get this done, come on. So you park in the 15-minute parking, you jump out, you go and grab me a wheelchair, you bring me the wheelchair, and I sit down in the wheelchair. We pass the, I don't know what you call it, like your little check-in desk at the emergency department, and I remember two people standing at the emergency desk, and they just looked at me as I'm rolling by, as if to say, who's that lady holding a baby and where is she going? Because you worked at the hospital, so you just swiped your little badge to take us beyond where patients are allowed to go without anybody. So they just stared at us as we rolled past. You were, adrenaline was pumping and you were moving. And I said, I was getting a little stressed. So I said, dude, like, chill. Like, I'm not having this baby. I'm not having contractions. Like, chill. As soon as you open up, I think it was right as soon as you swipe through and you're pushing me through those double doors, I said, Evan, stop.
No, I don't think it was quite then, because I had to go through one direction and then make a right-hand turn to go down a different hallway. And it was shortly after that that you started screaming my name as I was pushing the wheelchair. And so I don't even remember having a thought. I just remember stopping the wheelchair, running to the front, getting on my knees just in time to catch a football, which was our second twin.
Yeah, basically I'm sitting down in the wheelchair holding twin A, and I can feel the baby exiting my body without me doing anything. It was just my body doing its what it needed to do.
As you were seated in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I don't recall pushing or even having the urge to push. All I remember is the baby descending and leaving my body. And so that's why I was like I'm holding a baby. I can't catch this one. Same thing as the first one. Water burst and just push, like she shot out. I mean, people ask what my easiest labor was. Hands down, baby number three. Had to do no exertion and yeah, just whoosh.
It was quite forceful. I didn't even catch her with my hands. I had to kind of catch her in a cradle position, and she had a lot of vernix on her because I remember it getting all over my shirt. And honestly, had I not been there, she would have slid a few yards like a hockey puck.
Yeah, probably. I really wish we had a video of it because I can only see it from my perspective. I would have liked to have seen that stage from someone else's perspective.
Yeah, and I think there were other people around there by the time our twin B was delivered, because it felt like shortly after she shot out that we had labor and delivery nurses down there and ER staff down there as well with a bunch of commotion.
Yeah, as soon as she was caught, I felt like we were like converged upon by like a bunch of people, probably because I screamed. I don't know. But it was just me and Evan in the hallway, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, a handful of people were all around. Oh my gosh, are you okay? Are you okay? What happened? Are you okay? And I turned to one. I don't know what they were, if they were technician or whoever they were. I said, oh man, I feel a lot better now. And he just looked at me and was like, well, okay. So then whoever came wanted us to go to the emergency department.
At that time I said, no, she's already registered with the program that was pre-registering for pregnant women, so they don't have to go through the emergency room. So I said, no, we're not doing that. We're going up to labor and delivery where we can finish taking care of.
Very authoritatively saying, nope, we're going up to labor and delivery. They said, okay, well, we'll at least call the nurses. And I said, okay, you know, fine. And then he, again, in his dad/doctor mode, takes the wheelchair and marches down to the elevator. And someone says, you're going the wrong way. They had just remodeled that part of the hospital. And so he started going the wrong way.
That's true.
And so then it was really funny because he's very, very assertive. And then they had to tell him he was going the wrong way. So we met the labor and delivery nurses in the elevator, took the elevator up to labor and delivery. And then my doctor showed up. Really, this was only a matter of how many minutes were they apart? 17?
I think 17, 18.
So our doctor showed up quickly.
But before he showed up, one of the nurses tried to cut the...
No, she tried to grab the babies to wait.
Oh, yes.
You know, here, let me take your baby. Let me take your baby. I'm like, why? Like, what do you need my baby for? And she said, well, I need to, like, weigh them. And I said, we're still attached. And she looked at me. Oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, no, you may not hold my baby right now. Like, I'm holding two children that are still attached to me through the umbilical cord. So then that was a little awkward maneuver moving with two babies from the wheelchair to the bed. But then you started, I think you cut both cords before the doctor showed up. I don't remember. I know you kind of did some doctor-y stuff. I think you cut some cords and stuff.
Yeah, and then, I don't remember.
Then he walked in and he said, okay, I'm going to be the dad now. And you backed up and you let our doctor finish delivering the placenta, etc.
Yeah, I don't remember if I delivered the placenta or if maybe I, or even how much preparation I did on the cords to be able to clamp them and
I think you at least clamped him and then you cut him while he was there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I just remember feeling relieved when he did step in.
Then it got really calm. Everybody left, the nurses and doctors and stuff left.
It was really calm. And even though the events of the birth were a little hectic, at the end of the day, the birth was exactly how you would have wanted it, in the sense that you didn't have to be hooked up to monitors. You didn't have to have checks, you didn't have to get up and walk around, or you didn't have to have somebody come in and ask you a bunch of questions about domestic violence screening or stuff that the first time you were thinking, why the heck are you asking me these questions? This has nothing to do with my pregnancy and the fact that I need to deliver a baby here soon. And because I remember having a lot of apprehension about how the actual delivery process was going to go, and you were not quite happy with how well you advocated for yourself during the first pregnancy, even though it went relatively well. I think you always had this sense of regret or wishing that you would have done more to make it more of the delivery that you wanted to have. And even though you didn't necessarily plan for the events to happen the way they were, I don't think it could have happened in a way that would have enabled you to have the birth plan that you wanted to have.
A lot of people think that maybe I'm crazy or different or out there. I just was more nervous of things like a C-section and more nervous of an epidural than having my babies accidentally at home. So it definitely was not planned. The labor and delivery nurse who did like a triage like weeks before I delivered asked me what my ideal birth plan would be. The labor and delivery nurse was pro-natural birth. Correct. And she had actually had a baby at home, planned birth at home. So I had told her my ideal birth would be that the first baby be born in the hospital elevator and the second one be born after that, because then by that point they couldn't have very many interventions. And I actually have a cousin who delivered in an elevator. So that's probably where I got that idea. This type of birth is not for everybody, but it definitely was pretty close to perfect for me because things were quick. They were relatively easy. Not to say that it was pain-free, but I don't have any negative emotions tied up in this birth. And I don't hold any baggage, I guess I can say, from the birth. I know people who have had babies years ago and still hold on to baggage and have had traumatic births. So this was definitely not a traumatic birth. Another question I get a lot of times when it comes to this birth is, why didn't you call the ambulance? And my response is always like, well, why would I? There was no reason to call an ambulance. Ambulances are for emergencies, and this was not an emergency. So that's why I was not even a thought that I had. It was, okay, let's drive to the hospital. And I didn't feel like we were in any sort of emergency or any danger.
My experience is that, at least at the time, a lot of the women that did show up in an ambulance, there was already this stigma that, oh, well, they're probably not in labor. And most of the time they weren't, because most of the time it was people who were having very painful contractions, but they weren't in labor. And that's a whole other topic for another day as far as appropriate usage of 911 and ambulances and emergency rooms. But yeah, no, there was definitely no emergency. But it being in the healthcare field, it's easier to get that sense of comfort or relief because you know what to look for, whether it's a newborn or whether it's a pregnant gal, at least I do in family medicine, to have a better understanding of when is 911 warranted and when is it not. And not that you don't, because I think for, especially related to pregnancy and birth, and you've done it before, but even though it was chaotic, there wasn't any chaos or concern about your or our twin safeties.
When we tell the story and we hear, you know, squish, blap, you know, these kids shot out of me, it seems very hectic and dramatic, but it was actually a really peaceful birth. What are the questions you get asked the most? Because you were a little bit of a celebrity at the hospital there for a while. Oh my gosh, you're the one whose wife had the baby at home and went in the ER. Like, people asked about it for months afterwards. How's your wife? How are the twins? You were.
The question I would get asked the most was not so much a question, but more of a, tell us the story again. Tell us how it happened. The question that they always ask is, they meaning staff up on the labor and delivery unit, are you going to have any more? If yes, are you going to have them at home again? So those are the most common questions that I remember being asked afterwards. Also, did you plan to have it that way? Which was no. So I think those are the most common questions that I remember being asked. But even that is in the distant memory. It doesn't get talked about much anymore. Unless there's somebody meeting you for the first time, in which case then people say, well, let me tell you this story about Dr. Norby.
Well, it's a good story. And I love to tell it because it's fun and unique and lets women know that, you know, you can birth how you want to birth safely.
Well, the other part of the story that is funny, but it doesn't come into play until a year later. So a year after the twins were born, I began working on a project that we were still living in an apartment. I didn't have much of a tool collection. So I went around asking my neighbors if they had certain tools that would help me with this project. And the neighbor across the street recognized me as far as where I was walking from and said, oh, are you the house that had twins a year or so ago? And I said, yes, that's me and my wife. We had twins just over a year ago. And so then she proceeded to tell her account of the events that night. Basically, they weren't sure what was going on. They just heard screaming from our apartment and they thought I was beating Amber. They were legit concerned about domestic violence, but
Not concerned enough to call the cops, but...
Exactly. Not concerned enough to call the cops. I didn't ask a whole lot of clarifying questions to them, but it was great at the time. There's not a whole lot to it, but the thought that that's how loud she was screaming, and that's the kind of...
Commotion.
The commotion that was going on. And if one neighbor who lived across the street was wondering that, I was wondering about the other tenants in the apartment or also nearby, because there are a lot of fourplexes nearby, a lot of people.
But to clarify, it was September, so it was still warm, and we didn't have air conditioning, so the windows were all open.
That does explain it. So that's the funny epilogue to the twin birth story.
There it is. All right, well, thank you for joining me today on Neighborhood Twin Mom, Evan. You're welcome.
Oh, I didn't know that was for me to say you're welcome, but why don't you go ahead and say that again?
Thank you for joining me on Neighborhood Twin Mom. Twin dad?
Well, yes, I'm the twin dad, but you know, together we're twin parents, and it was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at Neighborhood Twin Mom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.